The following sermon is read from Volume 5 of the 6-volume set entitled Puritan Sermons 1659 to 1689, being the morning exercises at Cripplegate. This complete 6-volume set of Puritan sermons is available from Stillwater Revival Books on Calvinism Bookshelf CD Volume 1 in SWRB's 3-for-1 CD Super Sale at swrb.com. This set is also available from SWRB in printed format at swrb.com. Stillwater's Revival Books makes thousands of classic Puritan books and sermons available, free and at great discounts, in print, audio, and video formats at swrb.com. If you would like to join our email list to stay up to date about all the new, free, and discounted Puritan and Reform resources we make available, please send an email to swrb at swrb.com with the word add in the subject line. For more information about the Puritan Publishing Ministry of SWRB, please email us at swrb at swrb.com. Welcome to a continuation, part 2, of Sermon 18 by Thomas Lye, entitled The True Believer's Union with Christ Jesus. 2. Wisely improve this union with Christ. It is not enough to have unless we use Christ. Not enough to have a well of salvation, but we must draw water and drink it too if we intend to benefit by it. Isaiah 12:3. It was looking on the brazen serpent that cured those that were stung. It is not enough for saints to have faith by which to live, but they must live by faith that they may have, Galatians 2:20. That is, they must by faith draw continually supply of grace, comfort, strength from Christ, as the branch does sap from the root, as the members do influence from the head, as a pipe does water from the fountain. This your union then must be improved. 1. Under the fear and sense of wrath. When God begins to thunder and to write bitter things against thee, now let faith recollect itself and say, why am I united unto Christ, in whose wounds is room enough to hold, and in whose heart readiness enough to receive all that fly unto him? Matthew 11:28. True indeed, there is a terrible storm of justice gathering over my head, ready to pour upon me, but my Christ, to whom I am united, is my shelter. Isaiah 32:1-2. A flood of vengeance is rising, but I am got into the ark. Destruction is near, but Christ is my Passover, my little sanctuary, able, willing to save to the uttermost, with all kinds and degrees of salvation. Hebrews 7:25. 2. In solicitations unto sin. When sin comes like a Potiphar's wife, and offers deadly poison in a golden cup, now let faith answer, I would consent, but that I am united unto Christ. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against my Christ? Genesis 39:9. I could easily do this and this if I were not Alexander. But now I cannot gratify this lust, but I must needs be disloyal to my Christ, my husband, to whom I am married. If I take the cold in my feet, it will immediately fly up into my head. Every sin is an affront to my Christ. 3. In the use of all ordinances. Let faith use them frequently, reverently, but not in the least rest on them, or be satisfied with them, any farther than they advance our union and communion with Christ. Look on prayer without a Christ, as mere words and sounds, sacraments without a Christ, as empty vials without a cordial, hearing without Christ, as a cabinet without a jewel. Be only so far satisfied with the ordinances, as thou findest them to be golden pipes, conveying golden oil into thy soul. Zechariah 4:12. 3. Labour more and more for a frame of spirit suitable to this union. 1. An humble, self-abasing frame. Say, alas, Lord, what am I, what my father's house, that so great a Christ should so far stoop beneath himself, as to be united to so poor a worm, a clod of earth, a mass of sin, a nothing, a less, a worse than nothing. Isaiah 40:15-17, that strength should be united unto weakness, light unto darkness, life unto death, heaven unto earth, unto hell, that incorruption should marry itself unto corruption, immortality to mortality, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to such a captive, unpaired, unwashed, unshaven captive as I. Ezekiel 16:4-6. 2. A trusting, relying, depending frame of spirit for supply of all temporals. He that hath given thee his Son, what can he deny? Romans 8:32. He that hath given thee an ocean will not deny thee a drop. If thou hast a kernel, thou shalt not want the shell. If thy father vouchsafes thee bread, manna, the ring, a kiss, he cannot well deny thee husks. If thou hast his Benjamin, thou shalt be sure not to go without thy mess, thy five messes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Matthew 6:33. That is, cast in as paper and pack thread to the bargain. 3. A loving, affectionate frame. Believer, thou art married to Christ Jesus. That relation calls aloud for union of hand, heart, spirits, all. He is bone of thy bone, flesh of thy flesh. Therefore, to be dearly loved, count all that thou art and hast too little for him. Love him dearly for what he is, for what he hath, for what he hath done, suffered, purchased, promised. Love him more for what he is than for what he hath, more for his person than for his rings, bracelets, jewels, jointure. Love him with a cordial, active, conforming, constant, transcendent love. Psalm 116:1-2. 4. A truly noble heavenly frame, such a frame whereby thou mayest truly contemn this poor dunghill world. Believer, being united unto Christ, thou art indeed clothed with the sun. And therefore thou shouldest, like thy mother, tread the moon under thy feet. Revelation 12:1. We should never fix our hearts on that whereon our God would have us put our feet. Such eagles as believers should not stoop at flies. It is not for persons united unto Christ to be fond of these beautiful vanities, fair-faced nothings, chases in auras, handsome pictures drawn on ice. Such are all enjoyments on this side Christ. Believer, thy head, thy husband, thy treasure is above. There let thy heart be also. Having Christ for thy portion, let a little, a very little, of the world serve thee for thy passage. 5. A pitiful, compassionate frame to those that are not as yet united unto Christ, that are yet without hope, because without Christ. Oh, as the elect of God, put on bowels of mercies towards such. Colossians 3:12. Poor souls, they are sinking, drowning. Thou art safe on the shore, got into the ark. They are frying, burning in Sodom. Thou art safe in Zoar, a brand plucked out of the fire. Oh, pity those that do not, will not, cannot pity themselves. That is the third advice. 4. And lastly, walk worthy of this union. Let your conversation be suitable to your condition. This I shall dispatch in these three particulars. 1. Walk zealously. Be wisely jealous in and for promoting of the honour of this Christ to whom you are united, Galatians 4:18. Make it your only plot and business to advance his honour. It is your own peculiar interest so to do. Be jealous of anything that doth or may eclipse or sully his glory. He that touches him, his person, natures, offices, days, ordinances, ministers, servants, let him be thought to touch the apple of thine eye, Zechariah 2:8. Let the zeal of his house even eat thee up, Psalm 69:9. 2. Walk fruitfully. So it becomes every branch engrafted into Christ, the true vine, Philippians 1:11. Thy fruitfulness adds much to thy Christ's honour. The plenty of the crop sets a gloss on the husbandman's care. The fully laden branch reflects an honour on the root. If men see our good works, our fruitfulness in every good work, they will then glorify our Father. Matthew 5:16, John 15:16. 3. Walk lovingly, tenderly, toward believers, fellow members. They that are so happy as to be united unto one head should be very careful to be of one heart. Believers formerly were so of one heart and one soul, Acts 4:32, as if animated with one and the same soul, suitable to the philosopher's description of true love. Formerly believers were like Celerus, bundle of arrows, so trussed up together that there could be no breaking of them. But alas, now it is sad to see how those that agree in one common faith should yet disagree as implacable foes. O beloved brethren, Joseph and Benjamin, Moses and Aaron, Abraham and Lot should fall out, especially when the Canaanite is in the land. Shall Gebel, Ammon, Amalek, and the Philistines, shall these agree? And shall Ephraim and Judah be at variance? Shall the wolf, lion, bear, and leopard associate? And shall not lambs and doves? Oh, let such their sin and shame never be published in Gath, nor spoken in the street of Ascalon, 2 Samuel 1:20. Believers, you have heard the fable of the contest between belly and their members. The moral of it bids you consult, if not your duty, yet your safety. By your divisions, you do but dig your own graves. Remember, saints, we are all one by spiritual relation. Why should we not be one in our affection? 1 Corinthians 12:13-27, 1:9-10, 1 John 4:12-6, Galatians 3:28. I shall close all that of the Apostle in Ephesians 4:3-6, wherein he draws his arrow to the very head. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why? Because there is one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Let me add, you are one with Christ the Head. It is your duty, therefore, and it will be your privilege, honor, safety, to be one with one another.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. You are welcome to make copies and give them to those in need. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. It is likely that the sermon or book that you just listened to is also available on cassette or video, or as a printed book or booklet. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's E-D-M-O-N-T-O-N, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart, from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, I have not commanded them, whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle was adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship, in which they absurdly exercise themselves, would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying his word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important, when he says that God had commanded no such thing, and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew.